BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Let's start the podcast this week with a letter. This is from Rob Bloomfield. Hi, long-time listener, first-time writer in. Over the past few shows, I couldn't help but notice that Joe is attempting to gradually accumulate a new introduction for his name and thus far has been unsuccessful in doing so. He's referring to the way we say our names at the very beginning of the podcast. Mm-hmm. Please fear not, as I have concocted one for him. I believe Joe should deliver the said line in the manner of a Swiss yodel, substituting the yo in yodel-ay-hee-ho with Joe. It may be a simple suggestion, but it should work wonders as a vocal alarm clock early in the morning. Okay,
you ready?
So we can start the podcast proper now.
What am I going to think of? That's a brilliant
know.
One.
I don't know.
I can imagine it now.
Pull it off. I mean, I'm going to have to perform it in a few seconds. I'm really nervous.
That's a brilliant idea, though. I've got nothing.
Jodel-odel-y.
Ah, it's brilliant.
Jodel-odel-y.
Oh, it's genius. I've got nothing.
Jodel-odel-y.
Damn you, it's brilliant. Oh, Adam!
Yeah, that was good. You should have made the dum smaller. If the ah was really angry, then it was just dum. Try again.
Adam!
Yeah, that was it. Brilliant. They're not going to get better than that.
Okay.
Hello, welcome to this week's podcast of the highlights of our live show here on BBC Six Music between 9 and noon every Saturday morning.
Nice to have you along. How's your week been? My voice
Fine,
is going
man.
Now after all that
it
shit.
It sounds good. You sound like you're a professional DJ on some sort of commercial radio station.
Nice to have you along.
Wow.
Well, was that too sexy for you?
I don't know what was going on there.
Something smooth for everybody.
Wow, you should do Siggy adverts in the 70s. Listen, we should get on with the podcast because we don't want to use up our quotient of extra material time, do we?
The taste of success. Yeah, no, quite right. Let's get on with the podcast.
This is a big British castle podcast with some talking from the Adam and Joe show radiogram. You can listen to it while you're on your way to work. And when you get there, you can listen on the loo. How do you do?
This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. It's a joy to be with you. It's a joy to be alive, you know, just to be functioning within fairly normal parameters.
Isn't it?
What do you think?
I think I agree.
I've got some jokes for you, Joe.
Oh, brilliant.
Do you want to hear them?
Yeah.
I made these up. Like, do you ever think of jokes?
What, like old school traditional jokes?
No, no, no. Ones that you've made up.
But I mean, what form would the jokes take? Just, you mean proper, like, cracker joke book jokes?
No, no, no. Just funny things.
Funny things.
Yeah.
No, I never think of those.
Do you not?
No.
Ah, well done. My one, so I've been saving these up, right? And today
right.
I had the third one.
Yep.
Like, I had one, I thought of one at Christmas, then yeah. I thought of one a couple
I
of weeks ago.
I have one at Christmas.
Did you? Do you want to tell me yours?
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily a joke. It was just a clever thing to say.
There you go. That's all I'm talking
My
about.
My girlfriend said, oh, I've got indigestion. And I said to her, well, why don't you get out of digestion?
Ha ha!
See? That's... And it was just like that. It didn't take me a second.
Brilliant.
I was straight back with that.
Bang.
Digestion.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well,
Does
here's...
that count?
Yeah, definitely.
Mm.
Compared to mine, it counts.
Mm.
Compared to mine, it's amazing. Okay, here's the first of my jokes. Here's a name for a TV show about a couple of Welsh people whose romantic conversations are listened into by the Secret Service.
Right.
Gavin and Stasi.
Nice. I know the sort of joke you mean.
Right.
Where you think of a funny little wordplay and then you sort of think backwards
what
to
do you
justify
mean?
It. You're right. I was analysing it too much.
Yeah, way yeah, too much.
Yeah. Go on, no, keep going.
You want the second
keep
one?
Keep cracking.
Okay. A name for a band made up of rapping babies. The No Solids crew. No,
that's good. That's good. That's good.
Well, a bit more of a reaction
no,
would be
good.
Nice then.
Well, it's intellectual. I'm finding it hard to actually laugh because its strength is it's clever.
The no solids because they
yeah.
don't eat solid food yet because mm-hmm, they're mm-hmm. babies. They rap, so it's all
that's very good
in there.
Do you know where you're going to use these jokes yet?
So on
you shouldn't use them on the show.
Yeah, maybe the Royal Variety performance.
Right, good idea. Good
when
target.
I get invited.
Good goal.
You know, because it's only
yeah.
a matter of time. Surely
it is
before I get invited there. Here's the last joke. Now, the last joke I made up this morning, it's not as good as the other ones. It's not as good as No Solids Crew and Gavin and Stasi.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give it to you anyway. Do you think this is less, this is more amorphous, this joke? Do you think if a guy called Bob goes and gets a job at Cafe Nero, he's called Robert De Niro?
Oh.
All right, well, I told you that one wasn't as good as the No Solids Crew and Gavin and Stasi, but I just thought I'd pop it in there to make it the three, you know?
I'm still thinking about the last one.
This podcast comes from a corner of the BBC that you can listen to if you have got a DAB. It is called Six Music.
The secret station.
On a tangent, you know what I think you just did, Adam?
No.
I think you stumbled upon a subject for Text the Nation. Jokes you made up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that you're convinced you've made up.
Right.
Because everyone does that. You know, you have a slip of the tongue and say something stupidly and then recontextualize it as a hilarious joke. I'm not saying that's what you did. Yours were obviously scientifically crafted in a humor, a laughter lab.
A joke lab, yeah.
A joke lab, because they're very, very funny. They're powerful. They work. but, you know, listeners, maybe you think you've made some sort of formulated some kind of a joke that no one else has ever formulated.
That's true. You know, I did a gig last night, and one of the chaps that came along to the gig did a gag that I must say I thought that either I'd thought of or maybe I'd read somewhere else.
Well, comedy's full of comedians complaining that other people have stolen their material.
And it very seldom happens. What does happen is that you just think you thought of it yourself. You know,
yeah.
I don't know anyone who actually goes out and hears somebody else's joke and goes, I think I'll use that. I mean, they say that those people do exist, but I think the other reason is probably more common, you know?
Anyway, that's a tangent.
Like the joke I heard was the one about...
I was finishing. I was closing
you're
that
closing
off.
The tangent.
Yeah, I was closing that off. I shut that door.
I just, there's a little
you
slip
You just walked
rope.
Right into it.
Just a
there isn't. The door's closed now.
Tangent.
We were moving on.
Just driving off on the slip rope.
Go on.
I was just going to explain the joke that I thought maybe...
Oh, God. Which joke?
The Obama one. He was making a joke about Obama, saying, I don't really think, you know, his speeches weren't that great, you know, saying, yes, we can all the time. I mean, who's his speechwriter? Bob the Builder.
That's the one.
And I think I've heard that one somewhere else. I wasn't sure.
Yeah. Finished?
Yeah, thanks.
That's all right, man. I let you say it.
Yeah, but I mean, you really barred the slip road there.
Well, it's a matter of time, you know. Yeah. We've got to move on.
That's true.
It's time for Song Wars, the war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs. Which will you vote for? Which one is the best? We're putting our songs to the listener test. So check it out.
Song Wars last week, listeners, was all about 80s music. Mm. We were trying to compose the ultimate 80s song. I did a kind of ABC tribute. And Adam did a Phil Oakey tribute?
Well, it was a mixture of, there was bits of Phil Oakey, bits of Pet Shop Boys, that kind of thing.
I've got to say, as you know, listeners, we get all the emails and stuff sent to us during the week. And quite a lot of the votes were sent through this
yes,
week.
Yes, that's not normal practice.
It's not normal. Well, I've bullied the production staff to try and send us everything.
Mm.
So we've got a new producer this week, listeners, Jeff, because Ben's gone away on a motorbike holiday in Vietnam.
With Ewan McGregor.
Yeah. And Jeff brilliantly sent through all the... But you did send through, like, almost all of them. So I know that it's looking quite bad for my ABC song.
I couldn't help noticing that...
Yeah, it wasn't looking good. Well, we'll see. I might be wrong. There might have been a last-minute rally. But Jeff has also been saying to Adam in the last half hour, Adam, your song is the 80s song, right? And then just now he said, Adam, let me just make 100% sure this is your song. And then he played a clip of it. So that's given me one or two hints as well.
Yeah. But imagine if it went the other way now.
Well, that would be exciting. That would really get the production team off the hook.
Yeah.
Because it would mean that all of Jeff's appalling signals that have blatantly given away who's won would actually be a brilliantly clever manipulation.
Yeah.
That would be good, wouldn't it? But I don't think that's what happened, is
Let's
it?
See.
So here are the results in the sealed envelope. 190 votes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good voting.
Before I say the results, I'm going to read an email, right?
Okay.
This is from somebody called... Oh, no! No, it's from Jerry. I thought I'd left the name off, but it's from Jerry O'Donohoe. Is that a lady or a man if it's spelt G-E-R-I?
I would say a woman.
Okay, a lady woman. She says, "Hi, Adam and Joe. I've observed a recurring trend in your Song Wars songs, which I thought I should bring to your attention. Adam's songs are very factual and straightforward, often recounting the history of something or telling us, the listeners, what Adam feels about that week's subject. The production of Adam's songs echoes the realist nature of his lyrics, never relying on unnecessary donks or effects, choosing rather to allow his lyrics and performance to tell the song. What do you reckon on that?
Not entirely accurate.
Joe's songs have a tendency to veer into the surreal, often featuring fiction situations which Joe plays out singing from the main character's perspective rather than voicing his own thoughts. Also, Joe's production is much more elaborate, displaying a vision which matches the creativity of his lyrics and his understanding of the importance of multi-layering music and backing vocal tracks. Also, Joe seems to have a brightness and intelligence that Adam's lacks.
Wait a second.
His hair is bouncy and light and fresh. His complexion is beautiful and translucent.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got lovely knees.
And he's got beautiful knees.
I made up the end of that. But before a certain point, up until the words vocal tracks, that was all Jerry's actual email. What a brilliant analysis.
Yeah, that's great.
That's flattering to me.
That's very nice, Jerry. Thank you very much for that. But let's see who's won, shall we?
Shall we?
Okay. Let's see if that carries
the winner, in case you haven't guessed, is Adam has won with 57%.
Oh, that was close.
Joe, 43%. Wow.
Well, I could have handled a bit more of a romping win, but still, I don't deserve it because yours was very good.
If you don't deserve it, then that means mine was better.
No. I don't deserve a romping win.
Okay. But you do deserve the win.
I would say so.
How complacent.
That's a little bit complacent, isn't it?
Let's hear the winning song. This is Adam's 80s song.
One thing that I really hate is how we are no longer in the 80s. I wish Doc Brown from Back to the Future could take me back there now in his DeLorean car. I'm going back to the 80s, a decade of fun. You could make lots of cash and gender bend in the sun. You could dress like a ponce or a pirate from space and draw wavy lines on your face. Margaret Thatcher, shoulder pads, New Kids on the Block, fresh body popping, funny Eddie Murphy, Metal Mickey, a Dayglow sock,
New York girls who dressed all slutty, boys from Camden who were
nutty,
the king of pop when he was black, Shack Attack.
I live in the 80s, my life is fantastic. I've got a giant flat made of money and plastic. I play Space Invaders, I drive a C5. What a great time to be alive.
This is a sample of James Brown. Scratching.
I'm a sexy woman.
We had the Beastie Boys for tea. Their behaviour was disgraceful. They vomited on Adamant and Boy George got a faceful. Ad-Rock broke my Rubik's Cube and Mike D punched Rick Astley. MCA watched MTV. The whole thing was just ghastly.
The 80s were destroyed by the Beastie Boys. They were so rude and made a terrible noise. Why did they have to
shout
at the end of every
line?
Before them everything was fine. Oh, take me back today, it's horrible here. This crappy 80s music, unemployment and fear. Oh wait, they had those then, of course I nearly forgot. In fact, things haven't changed a lot.
I can remember being chastised several shows ago. I'm not sure which song Wars it was.
It was the
French one. I remember
one.
Being chastised by listeners for formulating a song that was merely a list of references to the subject.
Yes, it was your French one, and it was people said you ripped off Fou de Farfar.
There we go. Well, there was that I ripped off the Concords, but also being chastised for making a song that was just a list of references.
Yeah.
I took that to heart, and I shouldn't have taken it to heart because your list of references song won.
Mm.
And my clever, sophisticated song lost.
It's just a question of knowing when to use the list.
Why do I care so much?
Well, because you put a lot of effort and love into those
things.
That's
why.
Yeah. That's the end of Song Wars. Oh my gosh, it was an epic, wasn't it? Sorry to ramble and meander like that, but thank you very much indeed for all your votes.
Yeah, it's Adam and Joe. We were born on the street. That's what this podcast is basically about. Various different kinds of streets. Streets where you do your shopping. The streets inside your mind. Streets where you're looking for a penny, but in the end it's a turd that you find.
That's Paul Weller with All I Want to Do Is Be With You. That's new Weller, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. His that new album is supposed to be amazing. I've not heard it properly yet, though. Got to apply myself. This weekend, that's what I'm going to do this weekend. I'm going to get
catch
home.
Catch up with fashionable new music.
Catch up with the Weller, yeah. Or listen to the Animal Collective record again.
Yeah.
Check all my music facts.
Things are going to be different. Is there going to be a fashion makeover?
Yeah.
Skinny jeans?
I'm going to go on an
Afghan scarf.
Radical diet as well. This time next week, I'm going to be a very different proposition.
Yeah, I'm excited by this announcement.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
It's about time you got with it.
I'm going to get a stylist as well.
Are you?
Yeah.
I think you should move out of your house and just sleep on friends' couches. That's the cool thing to do.
What about my family?
That's all right. They won't mind. They'll appreciate you. You can pop around every now and then a bit drunk. Hello. Yeah. And just like kip on the sofa for a bit. That's how kids live these days.
Right.
You know, if you watch Skins and stuff or listen to the music of Pete Doherty.
Yeah.
Then that's how you don't need to have a house anymore.
Be like a rock dad.
Exactly. A rock dad? Yeah.
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 Come around and all messed up. And I'm more screwed up than the kids are, right?
Yeah.
That's the deal.
Yeah.
So when they're teenagers, they're giving me advice.
Yeah. What a reversal. What a switcheroo. Problems.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it's like living these days. It's crazy, I'm telling you. It's upside down.
So listen, what about this textination idea? Do you
think
this is a go of your made-up jokes?
Let's try it.
We're going to try it. That is going to be the official Text the Nation subject this week, listeners.
What's the worst that could happen?
Lots of really, really bad jokes.
Yeah, but that's not... What's the absolute worst that could happen?
An earthquake.
That's too extreme.
That's not connected to Text the Nation either, is it?
I'm thinking about something directly connected to... The very worst that could happen. Someone sends us in a very racist joke. We don't quite realize it's racist. We read it out by accident.
We get fired.
Mm. Or no, the Daily Mail finds out. They launch a campaign, another campaign against the BBC. This one is the one that the straw that broke the camel's back. The whole corporation crumbles. Thousands of people are laid off. It's all our fault for this Text the Nation idea.
Let's do it.
Okay, so the idea...
Should we make it official by having the jingle?
Yeah.
We've had some complaints, listeners, that we've been using the short Text the Nation jingle. So, Jeff, are you going to be able to play the long one?
Let's have it.
Do it.
Text the Nation. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Was that the longer one?
That's as long as it is, yeah.
Good. There we go. So that's it. It's official now. Text the Nation this week is jokes you're convinced you've made up.
Mm-hmm.
This is as distinct from, for instance, dad jokes, like bad jokes your parents make.
Right.
Or would that qualify? Because parents often make bad jokes and dads especially like to make bad jokes.
That's a different
over
genre.
And over again. Different genre, but still that would be a joke a dad had made up. That's why you say them, because you're convinced you thought of them.
Yeah, I guess
And
so.
You're waiting for to get the laugh you think they deserve.
Yeah.
So you just don't let go. You pummel people with them. Out of digestion.
Gavin and Stasi.
You see?
Yeah.
So maybe that does blur a bit. But jokes you're convinced you've made up. We've already had a few sent through that I've heard before. So we're going to be putting some people out of their misery.
Okay.
Out of their authorship delusion.
Really?
Oh, yeah. The authorship delusion.
Ooh.
That's my new book. I've just done a deal with Pam McMillan, literally just then.
Yeah.
The Authorship Delusion by Joe Cornish.
Wow.
No idea what it's about.
Yeah.
But it's selling like hot toddies.
We could do the audiobook as well.
Yes. Sting. Do you remember the first joke you ever made up?
Oh, gosh.
I do.
Gavin and Stasia.
I was at a friend's, really, just then.
Yeah.
I was a little kid. I was at a friend's birthday party,
mm-hmm.
and we used to sing Kumbaya a lot at school.
Sure.
Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya. Suddenly occurred to me, cucumber, my lord.
Nice.
And I vividly remember spitting my entire drink out over the table and all my friends.
Aged about around how old, did you say?
Yeah, I spitted, is that the right word?
Spot.
Must have been about 7. I spitted my drink all over my best friend Matthew Slotover.
Oh.
Who now edits Freeze magazine.
That's right.
I sprayed him because I thought that was so funny.
It is very funny stuff.
It was funny. Cucumber, my lord.
Cucumber, my lord.
Imagine that. So Text the Nation this week, listeners, is all about... jokes you think you've made up.
Yeah.
And if they're really quite crap, that's quite good.
Yes.
But the nice thing is if you think they're amazing, you know, because there's something about a joke that you've made up, even if it's sort of mutated,
mm-hmm.
slightly, you know, unable to survive, you still love it.
Yes,
and you
exactly.
want it to be loved.
Yeah.
You feel a sense of pride.
And that's the thing, like... maybe you keep that joke in an attic, like a strange child.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then this is an opportunity for you to bring that strange child out of the attic and introduce it to the world.
Here's a very good one from Lee in Brighton. It's very important you send us your names, because if any of these jokes reoccur maybe in someone's stand-up set, then we can sue them.
Exactly.
And give the money to charity.
To Comic Relief.
Yeah. what a generous thing of us to say. Completely fictional, speculative, charitable gesture that in no way will ever enter the sphere of reality.
It might.
How big of us?
Yeah, but we want to. that's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the thought that counts. It's true.
That's part of it. I mean, I know Comic Relief is based on more than thoughts.
It's based on actual charitable contributions. Yeah. Mind you, a lot of it is pledges.
Right.
Isn't it? For the next several months, they have to go around actually getting the money off people. Isn't that right?
So our pledge is based on the possibility of suing a comedian.
for using one of these appalling jokes. It's good. It's going to make a lot of money for people in need. Here is an email from Lee in Brighton. He says, "Good morrow, Adam and Joe." It's a sort of medieval greeting. Mm. "Here's a joke that I did make up and did make when decorating the living room the other day."
Ah, right.
"Did you hear about the Dalek decorator? They can only do external paint, external paint, external paint," brackets said in a Dalek voice.
That's very good. What's his name? Lee.
Lee.
Wow.
Yep.
I wonder if that's Lee the decorator who decorated our house.
Maybe it is.
You reckon?
Could he be living in Brighton? You'd make it sound as if we live in the same house.
External paint.
Like Dick and Dom.
We do. In Da Bungalow we live. What are you talking about? I'm talking about Lee who came around and decorated Da Bungalow.
Da Bungles. Da Bungle building.
That's our address. Adam and Joe.
Da Bungalow.
Da Bungalow.
I wish we were Dick and Dom. That's one of the best programs ever on television.
They moved
in
out of Da Bungalow.
Televisual history.
Right.
I sincerely believe that. Dick
yeah,
and
you
Dom.
Always
They
loved
were repeating it.
It.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And now they've been taken off.
No, they've got a new show. They've got a medieval show.
It's not the same though.
Oh, my
It's
children
very good.
Do they
love it?
Yeah.
Good. They're brilliant.
It's funny stuff.
Do you want another one?
Yes, please.
"Hi, chaps. I'm a dad and I like making up silly jokes to upset my children's senses. Here's my latest effort. What do you call a president that keeps having accidents?" Oh, this is terrible. Why didn't I read this through first? "Bad luck, Obama." That is awful. And then after that, he writes, "Ta-da, get it." "Oh, I'm off to my shed then. All the best, Bill."
Bad luck, Obama.
Wow, his children must be upset.
Just the B and the
Shut
K.
Shut up, Dad! Shut up!
"Bad luck, Obama." Because it sounds a bit like Barack.
That's the thinking behind it. Yeah, well done.
Obama.
Oh, I think I'm going to have to read through some of these because they're making my head hurt.
We've only had two.
I know, but they're so powerful. They're too strong.
The No Solids crew.
Yeah, nothing's as strong as that.
Right. Rapping babies.
Or why don't you get out of digestion? Mine's not so good, is it?
He works in Cafe Nero, and he's called Robert De Niro.
More jokes you think you've made up are coming very soon. I'm going to filter them a bit more thoroughly, though, because of what you just heard.
You're frightened of the joke power.
Yeah, you've got to be careful.
Fair enough.
You've got to ration them.
Easy, man.
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Do you think that jingle's going to be overplayed?
Well,
do you think it was overplayed and it's come back round again?
I'm a little bit worried about it, yeah.
Are you?
Let's get in.
Let's
have some jokes.
Okay.
I'm excited.
Here are some good jokes, or here's one very good joke that's come in from Dermot. And what I like about this joke is the sort of effort that it takes to set it up when compared to the payoff. Text the Nation this week, if you've just tuned in, it's all about jokes you've made up yourself. It has to be genuine. They have to be sort of stupid bits of wordplay that occur to you and you construct some sort of insane logical scheme to turn them into a joke.
You work backwards, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The more rubbish, the better. But you have to be convinced that you've authored them. This is one from Dermot. He says, "Hello, this joke was told to me by my friend Mark when we were in Russia and we were all being sent a bit mad by the temperature being minus 30. I realise it isn't mine, but it deserves a wider audience as it's haunted me ever since." Here we go. What did one sheep farmer from Market Harborough say to the other after a hard day's work?
I don't know.
"That's less to shear." That's less to shear.
Quite good.
Well, I like the fact that you have to get Market Harborough in, which is in Leicestershire, and you have to get sheep farmers. obviously. Leicester, that's it's quite good, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's laboured, and that's what I like about it.
It's very laboured.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a good joke, though. There must be some
way of doing it. It would never appear in a stand-up routine, would it?
I don't know.
But yet, still, the guy that thought of it and this guy who's heard of it, they can't get it out of their heads.
Yeah.
It's got some intrinsic worth. It's hard to find an application for it.
Well, there's a home for all jokes, you know. It's just a question of finding that home.
Yeah, it's here on this program. Hi, Adam and Joe. Here's a joke I made up and have used in social circles several times. What do you call an Italian who can talk to the dead?
Oh, I don't know.
You should be able to guess this one.
No, I can't.
Luigi board.
That's very good.
Thanks, Gareth in Lantwit Major.
Yeah, that's not going to the retirement home. That's brilliant.
Oh, here's another one. My brother also claims he made this one up. What time is Sean Connery going to Wimbledon? Tennish. That's good.
That's amazing.
That's good.
Did he really make that up? I'm impressed.
Yeah, his brother isn't named. Gareth's brother. That's very good. That's a funny family.
Tennish.
here's a really confusing one. Oh, no, I get it now. I get it now. I made up a joke the other day, says Captain Luton. What do you call a posh TV presenter dancing to reggae in a peat bog? That's good. That's got three different conditioning things. Fen Bogle. It's like Ben Fogle backwards.
Right.
Yeah. Was that good? No, it took too
That's
much thought.
Absolutely rotten.
It didn't really boing.
Whose is that one?
That was from Captain Luton.
That's a disgrace, Captain Luton.
Emma in Widnes in Cheshire says, hi, Adam and Joe. This is a bespoke gem from my boyfriend, Nick. What do you call a cannibalistic public speaker?
I don't know.
Hannibal Lectern.
Nice.
That's good.
I mean, I feel that must have been made before.
Do you think?
Yeah. These are very good. I mean, we could put some kind of joke. You know, these are better than cracker jokes. At the very least, they're much better than cracker jokes.
Keep them coming in.
Watch out, here's another little bit. It might be wicked. It might be one of the weaker bits. But that's cool. I like weaker bits. I can handle up to three.
Textonation time.
Time.
Jingle,
please. Oh, no, not the jingle.
Oh,
again.
No, not the jingle. Not the jingle.
I mean...
How dare you try and play the jingle?
That's over jingle.
That's ridiculous.
You know, because we've had the jingle, what, six times already today? Yeah. I mean, that is way over jingle.
Maybe we need a new jingle. I do miss the punctuation.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point of the jingle, but it's too
it
long to be.
Things.
That's why we have the contracted jingle, so that you
text
can...
Text the nation. Text the nation.
I do have a very short jingle, but then people complain that we haven't played the... Oh, let's just play the long one.
Text the nation. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
I've had an idea.
Go on then.
What about we get listeners to send in jingles?
Good idea.
Because it's not as challenging as asking people to send in full songs.
Mm-hmm.
But listeners, if you've got GarageBand or another sort of music making software program, there are others out there.
Or just God-given skills.
Yeah, exactly.
With a guitar.
It could be a cappella.
Yeah.
You could do it with crisp packets and cereal boxes.
Yeah.
And pots and pans. If you think you can come up with a good jingle for our show, for use anywhere in the show, then please create it and send it to us.
It doesn't have to be for an existing feature. It could just be like for, you know, Adam and Joe are going to do some talking.
Yeah, if there's a recurring thing, maybe you've observed that happens in the show that we're unaware of. You know, we can't see the wood for the trees.
Try not to make it too offensive.
Well, it can be a little bit offensive. No swearing.
No.
But if you sent those to us, we would definitely play them.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
If they were any good.
If they were, even if they were a bit shoddy, I think we'd pretty much definitely
If we
play
could
them.
Laugh at them. Or they were any good, then we'd play them.
Anyway, Text the Nation this week is all about jokes you think you've made up, right?
Gavin and Stasi.
Yeah, I'm not going to say mine again.
Go on.
Why don't you get out of digestion?
Brilliant.
She had indigestion. Anyway, so they've been coming in hand over fist, and here are some good ones. This is from Newton Crosby in Birmingham. What's a cannibal's favourite pop group? Think about it. Cannibal's favourite pop group.
Fine Young Cannibals?
No. It's quite good.
That wouldn't be a joke,
would it?
It's a bit
obvious. Yeah. No, there's no wordplay there. The answer is, people. It's like M people. But
right.
That's quite a good one, isn't it?
Quite good. I mean, that's
a bit of silence in the studio for that one, I'm afraid. Newton Crosby in Birmingham.
It sounds like he's got two place names. You know,
it looks better written down. Okay.
Newton Crosby sounds like a town.
Here's one from Liam Tucker in Hackney. He says, my dad is a ludicrous man. Here's a joke. Here's his best joke. What do you call a Scottish cow sitting down? Annie Lennox. Now, and then it says in brackets, a kneeling ox. How would you possibly say that so that that joke came across?
You could only write it.
A kneeling ox. What do you call a Scottish cow sitting down? A kneeling ox. Your dad is a ludicrous man. He's wicked. I'd like to meet him.
A kneeling ox.
Now, that's exactly what we're looking for on Text the Nation here. Really exhausting.
I'm never going to be able to think of her the same way again now. A kneeling ox.
Here's one from Paul in Cheltenham. Greetings. My joke is that pigeons are planning to take over the world because I heard them organising a coup. Nah, it's just too good. You see that? It's good. It's just, but it's too good.
That's cracker joke territory, that one.
Yeah, that is. You see, if that, yeah. And some of them rely on wordplay. You see, the thing about Annie Lennox is that would never occur to anybody apart from Liam's father. We got others like, why do people study marine mammals for a sense of porpoise?
That's good.
Robert, and you know, but porpoise is, I know, there's too many jokes around the word porpoise.
See, a kneeling ox would never get into a joke book or a cracker or anywhere like that.
It really wouldn't.
It would
be
too insane.
Lee and Devon, this is too good as well. Invented by him. And we got to reiterate, these are jokes authored by the people who've sent them in.
As far as they believe.
As far as they believe. Great joke invented by me. What do you call a moderate Muslim leader? Mullah Light. Because that's got to have been used before.
Surely. That's a good one, though.
What do you get if you cross Fergal Sharkey with Bernard Manning? Racist undertones, says Gina.
And that's too slick, isn't it?
They're too slick.
That's a good one, though.
I'm going to look through them and try and find more like a kneeling ox. Oh, this is quite good. From Chris in Finsbury Park. What do you call a bungalow during a full moon?
Don't know.
A warehouse. It's like a werewolf.
Right.
They're too good.
That's good. I mean, that's not that good.
It's not that good. I'm going to look for some more really excruciating ones.
Keep them coming. We'll
come back.
Here's something that I got when I was extremely young. It isn't going to kill ya, because it is only juvenilia.
So a few weeks ago, we were playing clips that we'd unearthed of ourselves as children pretending to be DJs on fictional radio stations. And we asked you, the listeners, to send us any old tapes you had of yourselves pretending to be on the radio and doing juvenile DJing. And this is another example of the form, is it?
Yes, this is, well, it's not so much DJing as just rambling.
Right.
But I think it's maybe the youngest person that we've had sending in their stuff. I put that very badly.
No, you put it well. I mean, generally, several people have sent in MP3s of themselves as little children, and it's something that it has to be really particularly insane.
Yes,
to really be playable, because children kind of are insane to a degree at that age, aren't they?
It's
to be expected.
Exactly.
But some of them do punch through. You know,
the insanity ball.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say this is a good example of that. This is from Ruth. She's from Leeds. And she writes in, "Hey guys, the attached clip is taken from one of the tapes I used to play with when I was little, roughly 1982 or 1983. I would have been about 4 years old. As you'll gather from the clips, I was most definitely unhinged as a child. And the tape recorder was the only way my parents could get me to direct my incessant gibberish, most of it about Paul McCartney, bizarrely, in a direction other than theirs. The clips, fairly typical of my rantings at the time, cover topics from marriage to Sir Paul, magic, murder and cannibalism, also to do with Paul McCartney. She also talks about how she then vomits Paul McCartney out and later goes to bed with him, but not really. This is all, I should remind you, from the point of view of a four-year-old girl from Leeds.
She's four.
Yeah, and she says, I mean, it's very, when you hear it, it's quite a sophisticated world of insanity that she conjures. Basically, the first clip that we're going to play is all about her walking along the road. I was walking along the road and I felt like a rotten potato and I could make Paul McCartney into a model, she says. That's her opening gambit. And then she says in her letter, now it's sort of a family joke that anyone starting a sentence or a story with one day will have it immediately finished by someone else saying, Paul McCartney was walking down the street and he fell into a rotten potato. Anyway, here is the first clip of Ruth in full swing as a four-year-old.
Walking along the road, and I felt like I was a rotten potato, and I can make Paul McCartney into a model. So I squeezed plastic into him, and he He appeared into a dolly. It is into a dolly. Oh, you're a dolly. Of course I am. Oh, I see. So I ran off. My married Paul McCartney. See if that works.
Oh, see if that works.
Yeah, that was her test.
Have a go with that. See if that works.
That's the standard test for any bit of audio equipment. I was walking along the road and I felt like I was a rotten potato and I can make Paul McCartney into a model. So there's the first clip of Ruth there. Now she continues and she just is freestyling this stuff all about Macca. And it goes a little bit weird and dark. She basically puts Paul McCartney into a cauldron, puts the lid on, switches it on, locks the lid.
Hey, don't give it away.
Okay.
Is it clear when she says it?
Yeah, semi, but I'm just orientating you, getting you ready. If there's anyone who's upset by cannibalising a beetle, maybe look the other way now. Here's the second clip.
One day, I was walking alone in the street, and I happened to say what I was disappearing. Hocus pocus, tilly hocus. Make Paul McCartney disappear. And I put a spell on him. And then I put him in a cauldron. Put the lid on it, switched it on, and I locked the lid. And then he tried to get out, but I was cooking him. And he disappeared. And I turned it off, and I unlocked the lid, and I pulled it up, and Paul McCartney was just food, so I ate him.
Oh, he's still alive.
Paul McCartney.
So she feels sorry for him.
He was just food.
Yeah. So I ate him. Oh, Paul McCartney. Now, I think we've got Ruth on the line here. Ruth, are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
So this is Ruth in present day now. How old are you, incidentally, Ruth?
I'm 30 now.
You don't ask that to a lady.
I know it's rude to ask it to a lady. Joe finds that very offensive.
I find it. That was offensive.
In conjunction with Juvenilia, it's just interesting. So that was over 25 years ago there, yeah. Ruth. And how have things turned out for you since?
I think I managed to keep my insanity to a kind of hidden level now. But
I mean, it was at a fairly high level there. Were you quite a precocious child?
Yeah, I think my parents would say that, yes. It was literally the only way they could get me to kind of, well, not shut up, but kind of go away and rant at something else.
Why the Paul McCartney obsession, Ruth?
I really don't know. I think we only had a few cassettes, and one of them that we had was that, you know, the Blue Album, 67 to 70 hits. And I just, it kind of went from there, really. And
well, you know, the thing is that if you analysed it from a psychological point of view, it's a fairly accurate analysis of what goes into being a super fan. You know what I mean? That feeling of wanting to own the person to the extent that you make them into a model. Yeah. I mean, I'm overanalyzing this, Ruth, obviously.
For a 4-year-old, yeah.
But, you know, you want to make them into a model. You want to cook them and eat them, literally. Those are feelings that many super fans can relate to, I would say.
Because then you want to cook them and eat them.
Yeah. Don't you think?
I'm not sure.
If you really analysed it.
If you really, really love a particular artist.
Kylie. You would like to cook and eat Kylie.
Cook her and eat her.
Surely.
I don't know. I'd say that was a little bit unhinged.
Because at the end, speaking from experience.
Because at the end, Ruth, you start talking about the idea of just going to bed with Paul McCartney. Let's play that little clip there.
You're so tiny. Well, I was big at first, but you ate me. Oh, sorry. But you fell in love with me. And we both went to bed and cuddled each other. Sad music.
Oh, that's what you do when you love someone.
You cuddle them and sing music.
Go to bed. Oh, that's lovely.
And are you still a bit of a Paul McCartney fan, Ruth?
I do still like them. I'm not quite as avid as I was when I was four, but I do still like the Beatles, yeah.
If you had a choice between cooking him or going to bed and cuddling him now, which one would you choose? The cooking and the eating or the cuddling and the singing?
I don't know. I'd go with the cuddling.
Definitely. Yeah, because you're not going to get much meat off him at
the moment. You would get in terrific trouble for cooking him.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, you'd be arrested. The music press would go wild. I'd warrant the press itself would go wild, not just the music papers.
That would make the headlines, certainly.
It would be a national scandal, but he'd be delicious.
Which part of him would be most delicious?
How would you flavour him? Carrots? A couple of onions?
There's got to be some very funny Beatles-based seasoning jokes here, surely.
I bet there aren't. I'm confident there aren't.
Ruth, thank you so much for talking to us and for sending in your clip.
No problem. Thank you.
Have
a
very
brilliant
good weekend. And what's your job, incidentally, before you go? I'm always curious to...
I'm an IT consultant trying to help the NHS fix all their computery type problems.
Good for you. Well done. That's a job that needs doing. All strength to your arm.
Absolutely. Cheers, Ruth. Have a good weekend.
You too.
And listeners, if you've got audio of yourself, you know, ideally DJing or something, or maybe the remit's got too broad now.
I'm interested in anything that's just amusing.
I mean, that's good because it relates to a musician.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I like it. Juvenile recordings are fun to listen
They're
to.
They're fun. They're fun.
If you've got something good, send it in anyway.
Yeah, the email address is adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk.
I like to listen to Adam and Joe, but I listen to the podcast, not the live show. I used to feel acute frustration because I couldn't join in. But now my worries have disappeared.
Because Retro Text the Nation's here.
And now my mail might be read out instead of thrown in the trash and forgotten about.
Yes, it's time for Retro Text the Nation here on the podcast. And this is the part of the show which is too complicated to explain.
It's not that complicated.
Give it a go.
It's very simple. If people are listening to the show on Listen Again and not live, but want to communicate with us, all they have to do is email us during the week. And if their email is sufficiently interesting, we might read it out on Retro Text the Nation for the following week's podcast. What could be simpler than that?
Nothing. That's brilliantly described. Yeah. And the Text the Nation we're talking about is our Gig Manifesto one, right?
Yes.
The one from last week.
By the end of this podcast, you will hear compiled the ultimate 10-point guide to gig going for the new millennium.
Here's an email that we got from Simon. It says, "Hi, Adam and Joe. I think the worst gig atrocity is people who think it's okay to wear hats. They obstruct your view and they just look pretentious. The only hats allowed at a venue should be the helmets worn by your secret police organisation, which I would very much like to join, by the way. Oh, and everyone should pull their weight in the event of crowd surfing. This is mostly aimed at my mate, Darren, who suddenly disappeared, leaving me supporting the full weight of the lead singer of I'm From Barcelona, who'd launched himself off stage right in front of us. This may seem harsh, but he deserves the full wrath of your gig police for abandoning me in my time of need. Being crushed by a Swede is, I imagine, pretty fatal. Simon, yeah, we sympathise with you. Absolutely, your jumpsuit, helmet and electric cattle prod will be in the post. Funny enough, you don't need to be trained to be part of our militia."
He's very keen to join the militia. This is going to turn into like that film The Wave, where the German teacher gets his students to, as an exercise, act like a fascist hunter. And that's the way they actually really turn out.
And the problem is?
I've got an email here from Celia Burton. She's from Shepherd's Bush. That's in London. It's exciting. She says, "Dear Adam and Joe, as I listened to you chitter, she actually says, about gig etiquette last Saturday, it made me think of something that happened to me last summer. I saw Justice at Benicassim, which is a festival in Spain, last summer, and as I was dancing with some friends, I noticed a man standing behind me who had his hand down his trousers. We moved away, but carried on dancing for a bit, until I looked back at the man and saw that he had suddenly managed to get hold of a large cup of what looked like beer. I was starting to put the pieces together in my head when I was pushed backwards into the guy, causing him to spill a small bit of his drink down the back of my neck. When I felt that it was warm, I screamed. This was when the man reached out his arm, holding the cup of his own pee, because of course that's what it was, and threw it into the crowd in front of him, soaking the oblivious festival goers and my best friend in wee-wee. I've never seen anything so disgusting in my life, and I think that should definitely be on the list of things that should not be allowed to happen at a gig. I was scarred for life," although she does actually spell it scared. Maybe she means I was scared for life because of having the wee incident. I hope you enjoyed my story. Love the show," she says. "Thanks very much, Celia." I mean, that is grotesque.
Yeah, we talk about that later, and that does go into the manifesto, but that's the most disgusting thing we've ever heard.
Yeah.
Here's another one from Donna. "There should be some kind of rule against overprotective boyfriends who insist on standing with one arm around their girlfriend's shoulders the entire gig, more often than not poking you most uncomfortably on the boob. Now, I must say my lady partner girlfriend is the perfect height for me to stand behind her and rest my chin on her head. And I tend to do that through entire gigs.
That's
I'm
why
one of
you
those
go
people.
Out with her.
I stand stock still, rest my chin on her head, my elbows on her shoulders. And that'll be it.
Poor girl.
She loves it.
She's going to have a bad back.
She loves it.
Does she?
Not sure. But so, Donna, I'm afraid that one doesn't make it.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Come on, it's a fascist police force.
Plus, you have to change human nature. I mean, that's what young men like doing, you know, protecting their girlfriends.
Exactly. It makes one feel one has a role in the world.
Otherwise, you'd be sidelined, marginalised, the way women seem to insist on doing with men.
What do you say?
I don't know. It's just nonsense.
Here's another one from David. Hi, Adam and Joe. The people who insist on clapping along to the music, usually on the second and fourth beats of the bar, are invariably the people with the worst sense of rhythm. Bands that encourage this antisocial behaviour should be admonished. David, for me, you've opened a can of worms that wriggle beyond this gig manifesto. Clapping along to music in a crowd, it should just be outlawed, I think. You know, when a band plays and an audience with no rhythm start clapping along and it actually starts becoming contrapuntal.
Yes.
It actually goes against the rhythm of what the band are playing. And sometimes you can actually sense the band getting annoyed because it's throwing off their sense of the rhythm.
That's right.
And sometimes a band will actually switch the rhythm of the track to match the audience.
That's extreme.
And then the whole thing's out of hand. Then cats are giving birth to donkeys.
The world starts turning backwards.
It's all gone wrong.
Yeah.
So I agree with that. No clapping. Must be no clapping. Ow!
I said it again. That's good.
There we go. That's it for Retro Text the Nation this week. Yeah, bye.
I like to listen to Adam and Joe, but I listen to the podcast, not the live show. I used to feel acute frustration because I couldn't join in with Text the Nation. But now my worries have disappeared. Instead of throwing the trash and forgotten about.
Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Now, last week we were talking in Text the Nation about gig etiquette, and we were promising to compile a manifesto of new rules that would come into effect to make gig going a more pleasurable experience.
And we stuck to our promise.
Yeah.
Says just the one. We wouldn't make a promise and then not stick to it, would
that,
we?
That would not be safeguarding trust.
Filthy.
Yeah.
Sickening. Exactly. So we've done it, and this is made up from your suggestions, listeners, and some of our ones as well. A delicious, sexy combination of us and the listeners, all writhing together in a big
love
logic
sandwich.
Pile.
Yeah. Mm.
So here's the manifesto. These are the new rules that are going to be enforced at all live gigs across the country from the moment this segment ends.
By the pigeon detectives. Or,
yeah.
Or Electric Six carrying electric sticks.
Exactly. Rule number one for behaviour at gigs. There will be a small exam on the subject of the band you're seeing, which will be held at the door to qualify for entry.
Quite right.
If you don't know the answers to the questions asked to you about the band, you will not be allowed to see the band. There is also a deodorant check at that stage. You're checked for levels of body odour. Mm-hmm. If you don't know enough about the band or you smell bad, you're not coming in. Rule number two, the audience are stood in height order in pre-booked painted circles with lecterns and drink holders. So instead of just a free-for-all on the floor where you can stand wherever you want and push people, there are painted circles on the floor that you book and you're not allowed out of them. And they have a lectern and a drink holder.
Very good.
Yeah. And if you leave your painted circle to go to the loo, woe betide anyone step into it.
Electric sticks.
Yeah, you have to show your number thing, yeah. Your ticket. Mm. Rule number three, there are separate enclosures within the auditorium for short people to stand.
Yeah.
They're supplied with straw. There's a moshing enclosure and also an enclosure for stoic poshies.
Stoic poshies?
Yeah, people that are just aloof or, you know, like to be removed from the thing.
The posh pit?
The posh pit, yeah. Mosh pit, posh pit, and stumpy pit.
Stump it.
Number four. All beer is served with lids, and beer is available chilled from the beginning to the end of the gig.
Nice.
So you don't get any spillage. Number five, no ironic roadie applause when they come on stage. It's to be banned.
It's a shame.
Actually, there's 11, so we have to knock one of these
11?
Off.
11?
Yeah. Number six, this is going to go on for several hours. Number six, bands are rated by decibel. Talking stroke singing is only allowed for loud bands.
Uh-huh.
Right? You're not disagreeing with any of these so far.
I'm not sure about the roadies, but we'll talk about that after a while.
Number seven, no topless men, no backpacks, no big handbags.
Check.
No hats, no ponytails, no phone usage during gig. This is a lot in one, isn't it? This is actually like 15 more, but they're all just called number seven. Did you get all those?
Backpack and communication.
Yeah, no topless edict. Men, no backpacks, no big handbags, no hats, no ponytails, no phone usage during gig. Hairnets are issued at the door for those with long hair.
That is a lot of points in one point.
Well, they're just little ones, so they're all collected. Number 8. The band must start and finish performing at exactly the advertised time.
What's the point of that one?
Because you miss the bus on the way home.
Okay.
And another thing that annoys me, you go to a gig on time. The band, you know, the cooler they are, the later they are, right?
Yeah.
Who made that up? And while you're waiting for them to come on, they play really loud music, usually by the band you're about to see.
If it's a bad DJ.
So by the time they come on, you're just exhausted from noises.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah. Anyway, lots of listeners sent that
all
one
right.
in. Who are you to complain? Number 9, no throwing beer glasses full of wee.
No.
Apparently, this is something that people do a lot. You don't want to lose your place in the crowd.
Yeah.
So you do a wee into your beer glass, and then you just chuck it.
No, that's the most appalling thing I've ever heard of in my life.
Well, we had lots of emails from people saying that had happened to them.
No, it's unbelievable.
That might be punishable by execution.
I would say so.
Number 10, no shouting the name of the track you want the band to play all the way through the gig.
Yeah.
And number 11 out of 10 is no crowd surfing by people over a certain weight.
Oh, really?
Now, these are just listeners' suggestions that were all collated, and those are the most popular ones. So that is the Adam and Joe Gig Behaviour Manifesto. It's quite sizist.
Mm.
It's also fairly fascistic. It's unrealistic and non-implementable, but it is good.
Apart from that,
it's good. Anything you want to discuss?
My only thing would be the roadies. I just think it would be a shame not to clap for the
roadies. Not to clap for the roadies. That's just a bit of innocent fun. It's
yes,
not doing anybody
not
any
doing
harm.
Anyone any harm.
All right, well, we can knock that one off, and that brings us down to 10.
Yeah.
And those are actually GNU. They're GNU become law later today.
A kneeling ox.
So that's exciting, isn't it? We've really achieved something on this show. Anyone who accuses us of just talking complete rubbish
is an idiot.
He's an idiot.
He's an absolute
we've
idiot.
Really achieved something. We've worked together and now gigs are going to be much more enjoyable.
Yeah. Thank you very much to everyone who contributed to that manifesto. We really appreciate
That manifesto will be published in the bin. Listen, we've got all sorts of Stevenage stuff has come in. Does the Stephen thing need to be explained?
Let's say, we won't explain where it started, but we can just say that Stephen, shouting out Stephen in public is a way of communicating or trying to identify other fans of this radio program. If you say, Stephen, and someone says, just coming, then you know that they also listen to this
program. Yeah, now we didn't really start this, but certainly people that listen to the show have run with it. And I don't know, it feels as if you like that book, The Tipping Point, Adam, don't you?
Yeah, Malcolm
You're
Gladwell.
Keen on that one.
Yeah.
Feels as if it might have reached that point. And what happens when you sort of, it tips over and starts all going a bit off? Has he got a phrase for that?
The topping point.
The topping point. I don't know. It feels as if some of the Stephen shouting might be getting slightly out of hand.
Let's have some examples.
Here's an email from Mark. He says, I witnessed some monstrous Stevenage on Monday night at Richard Herring's gig in Taunton. It was towards the end of the show, a quiet reflective stage in which Richard was meditating on the passage of time and lost love. He paused to allow us to consider the weight of these matters when suddenly there was a loud, clearly prearranged shout of Stephen, followed immediately by a just coming. Richard looked sad. I'll read that again better. Richard looked sad and he said, that's someone else's catchphrase. Don't do that at my show.
Ooh,
where will it end? Is no one safe from the Stephen Vandals? Now, I don't have the email to hand, but another listener was at the Blue Tones gig, Blue Tones gig last week, and he shouted Stephen. And apparently Mark Morris, the lead singer, who's a friend of ours, he replied with a slightly belligerent and sort of grumpy just coming as well. So it was lovely that he said it, but he didn't look that happy about it.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, he's cool. He's a rock star.
So he's unlikely to sort of sound enthusiastic per se.
Jack from Belfast said, I just experienced a most bizarre Stephen while sitting in my bedroom tuning into a concert on Radio Ulster. In the silence before the Divine Comedy played, I heard an exploding Stephen come from the crowd. I was shocked, but before I could do anything, my brain went into auto. And I just said, "Just coming," as I was sat in my room. It was the loneliest "just coming" ever. You've unleashed madness in one poor listener's life. But I don't think there was a "just coming" reciprocated from the audience in the Divine Comedy show there. So,
do you think it's getting out of hand?
Well, I think it certainly could be annoying for people if they're performers and stuff. You know what I mean?
Do you think we would have the power to stop it, or do you think it's out of our control? I mean, we didn't start it. How can we stop it?
Well, maybe suggest to people that they... I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. You see, I'm half excited by it. Other Stephen news that's come in is Stephen Street in London's West End.
Mm.
Somebody stuck an exclamation mark on the... I mean, that's vandalism. And we can't encourage that.
No.
But at the same time, it is cool. Someone has stuck an exclamation mark on the end of Stephen on Stephen Street, right? Yeah. The other thing that happened was DJ Magazine, mm-hmm. which is a magazine, funnily enough, for DJs.
Hence the title.
Yeah, they have a spine message. And Stephen Just Coming was their spine message.
No.
The London paper, which is a free paper that you get in London. Yeah?
Yeah.
Has a cartoon strip called M, and that included a Stephen Just Coming slipped into the dialogue of the cartoon strip.
That could have been an accidental one.
No.
No.
No. No. So on the one hand, it's exciting, isn't it? It's proliferating.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, in some circumstances, it's getting out of hand and,
well, we should hear,
and
I mean,
causing anger.
We don't
but
know.
Here's the thing.
Yeah, what
excuse
the
me
thing?
For interrupting.
No, you're
it's only causing anger with other jealous artists
mm.
whose sets are being interrupted by Stevenage.
Mm. Yeah, but they have every right to be irritated by it.
You're right.
I'd like to hear, I don't know, I mean, because the Fleet Foxes took it well. I would like to hear specifically from an artist who is annoyed by it.
Mm.
Like if Richard Herring was really upset. I mean, that sounds like a bad one that he got. If he was really upset
by
that.
It was mistimed.
Which I could understand. Then I would like to hear his
The rule,
story.
I think, is please don't interrupt people's enjoyment with it.
No, exactly.
Choose your moment.
Respectful Stevenage, please.
Respect.
Respect the Stephen.
That was a great chat. Here comes another. Adam and Joe are rocking the podcast now.
Oh, Martin.
Excuse me.
Hey, we had a very nice apologetic email. Shall I just read that out quickly?
Yeah, go on then.
We were just talking about a possibly mistimed Stephen at a gig in Taunton.
Richard Herring's gig,
yeah. And Simon Lee, believe I'm pronouncing his second name correctly, writes, "Hi, Adam and Joe. I did the Stephen at Taunton. Could you phone me so I could apologise to the world about my very poor Stevenage? I'm so embarrassed."
Aww.
You don't need to be publicly reprimanded, I don't think, Simon. That's terrific that you would email in. And you know, how nice that he takes responsibility.
Well, it's fun to apologise, isn't it?
Yeah. And
people
some,
love an apology.
They do. That's all we ask for.
That's all anyone asks for these days. I mean, there's a whole apology fever going on.
There is. Why? Because Gordon Brown hasn't apologised for ending the world.
You can pretty much do anything, and then as long as you issue a public apology, a few days later, it's all forgotten about. Oh, no, he apologised.
That's all right.
It's fine. Well, thank you very much for your apology there, Simon.
Someone else texted in and quite rightly said that we did start the Stephen thing. We shouldn't try and disassociate ourselves from it.
We didn't tell people to go out and shout it in public, did we?
I think we did, yep.
Did we?
I think we did.
I've got to go through the back catalogues and,
really?
And check out the specifics.
Find out, yeah, for legal reasons. We should do that.
Did we really go out and tell them to go and start shouting?
I think we did. We definitely encouraged it. If we didn't want them to do it, we would never have mentioned it in the first place.
I suppose so.
Don't you think that's the truth, the case?
I do.
That's the truth case?
That is the truth case.
It's stuff full of truth, that
case.
Yeah,
that case is chock full of truth.
Adam's really great and he's wonderful. Joe is really, really, really brilliant.
They're fantastic.
But which one is the best?
It's Joe.
It's time to wrap up Text the Nation.
And this week, what's going on there?
Just a little plastic fork.
Throwing some forks around.
Throwing it around.
Control yourself. Yeah, we've been asking you to send in your made-up jokes, specifically jokes that you've created, formulated yourself, even though they're maybe not very good or quite laboured.
Especially if they're not
especially if they're really tortured. Daniel Solomon's from Kentish Town. This one, my brother Jason made up, but I helped develop it. Not that there's any pride in that. He's to blame, not me. Here goes. Question. Why did David Beckham's fragrance sell badly on Merseyside? Because Liverpool fans never walk alone. That's good, you see. Here's another one from Sophie from London. What is Bob Dylan's favourite pasta?
Don't know.
Gnock, gnock, gnocky on heaven's door.
That is awful.
Come on.
I mean, that's a disgrace. Who's that from?
Sophie. Sophie.
Sophie, you are an absolute disgrace. Knocky on heaven's
Here's one
door.
That Andrew in Newport made up. A cow said, "I wasn't going to go to the tannery, but all the other cows said it."
That's already so torture.
Because well, it's a talking
cow.
And the situation about going to the tannery. It's an everyday situation. Who doesn't come across that in the street? A cow said, "I wasn't going to the tannery." It's like a blankety blank thing, isn't
it? That's right, yeah.
"I wasn't going to the tannery, but all the other cows said it was good, and I'm easily swayed."
Oh my goodness.
God. Come on, that was one of the good ones.
Easily swayed.
I've vetted these. I've got the really tortured ones, especially. I think that's it, you know. I think that might be it. And nothing's beating the Annie Lennox one, is it?
A kneeling ox. Brilliant.
And that's the end of this week's podcast. Now here's a goodbye link.
Thank you. You've been wonderful. Throw me your dirty pants. I'll wash them and get them back to you. Thank you.
Well, that's it for the podcast this week. Thank you so much to everyone who took part. It's becoming more of a communal thing, this radio show, don't you think? In a nice way.
What do you mean?
I mean that the interaction levels have reached a certain pitch now.
It's true, and we should thank every single person that's emailed us or sent us things. People are starting to send us, like, comics they've made and things like that. We really, really appreciate it, and it gives me great pleasure to sound like a 70s TV presenter and say that we apologise for not having time to reply to everybody.
Yes, exactly. It's absolutely true, though.
Yeah, I never used to believe it when Noel Edmonds said it on Swap Shop.
Yeah.
I used to think, you lazy sod.
Right.
With your stupid puppet and your idiotic beard.
John Craven out there sifting through the mailbag, yeah. And you can't even be bothered because you're too busy pruning your beard.
You only got three letters. You just don't give a toss pot. You hate me, Edmonds. I don't know why I bother watching you. You probably feel that way about Adam and me.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's not true. We get four letters.
You stumpy little gonk and your long friend. What do you do all week? That's what they're thinking. I really hope you're not thinking that, folks.
Yeah, because it's not true.
It's not true.
Yeah.
We very much appreciate all the communications. And we'll be back with you with more of them, hopefully, next week.
Tutty bye-byes.
Have a good one.
If you enjoyed the Adam and Joe podcast, then why not try the John Richardson podcast? Download it now. bbc.co.uk/6music.